This is Emily Wright, Tech Editor and Head of Special Projects at EG, and we're still here. And you know what? We are so still here this week because we have a couple of our, you know, particularly bubbly team members, and you bring them together, and I just don't know what's going to happen over the course of this podcast. We have Emma Rossa, named by her fellow guest as Resi Rossa, so resident reporter Emma Rossa, and then we have reporter Lucy Alderson as well. And I was going to say, Lucy, that you're sort of tech and global reporter, but you are, but you're also doing flexible office space now. You're on this podcast to talk about well-being and the EG Diversity Race Survey. So I mean, it's kind of you're sort of covering almost everything these days, aren't you?
I'm not just a one-trick pony, Emily.
Lucy Alderson, not just a one-trick pony. So we are going to be chatting today about what feels like week 7,265 in lockdown, and also hear from Emma on some of the big stories this week, and then have a chat to Lucy about some really important issues that she's been working really hard on. And if anyone's picked up this week's issue of EG, you'll be able to see all of the work that we have done around well-being. And she's also going to be talking about a new survey that she's put out, and it's gone out today. Is it gone out today for the first time, Lucy?
Out today, yeah. Today's the first day.
Okay, so today being Friday, and there'll be more details from Lucy on that and how you can fill that in a minute. But let's start off with a little catch up with both of you, because neither of you have been on this podcast for a while. When we last spoke, we were obviously much closer to the start of lockdown. So how are you both faring now that we are so many weeks in? Emma, let's start with you. How's it going?
It's going all right. It was like 2.5 months ago when I was on the podcast and sort of feeling maybe a similar way of like, what on earth's going on? Still feeling what on earth's going on. But I was saying before, but when we started, it was winter, and then it just feels like so much time has passed. We kind of have gone through summer and then find ourselves on a dreary, miserable Friday again. And it's, it almost feels like it's a year later.
Oh, God. Yeah.
How miserable thought.
How very depressing. I know what you mean. I think the good weather is due to make a reappearance, but I know what you mean, that at the moment it does sort of feel like a year has gone by.
Yeah.
When we last spoke, obviously, you had not only just gone into lockdown, you'd just gone into a place that you had literally just moved into. So how's that been and how's that going?
Well, so there has been movement over this past year. I was updating everyone before about my wallpaper, and that was really consuming my life outside of EG and the world of Resi. And I now can confirm there is no wallpaper left in the flat. It's been an achievement. It's taken 10 weeks. I've taken it off the ceiling. I've also actually moved. So I was working in my lounge before, and I've created myself a little study, which I like to compare to a cave, because it really feels like that. I've got holes in the wall. I could actually crumble some of the wall away if I needed to, but I'm not going to do that. So at the moment, I am just dying for someone to come in and fix this mess. So I've been trying to get in contact with electricians, and my brother-in-law, who has kindly offered to come and replaster the entire place when everything is sort of back to normal, whenever that may be.
Brilliant. Well, as your fellow team members, we've kind of been getting glimpses of the progress just from Emma's backdrops when she does her Microsoft Teams calls. And I can confirm that there is no wallpaper anywhere in her flat.
And actually it was Lucy that picked up on me drinking out of jars. And I think that really made her day.
Yes, of course. Anybody who tuned into the last podcast where Emma was here as a guest, she was talking about drinking wine out of a tomato and pancetta?
Yeah, I've binned it now. You know, I'm going up in the world. I had my birthday and my sister bought me some actual glasses. So I don't know why I was holding off, but yeah, that one's gone now. So sorry
Fantastic.
To say.
Lucy, how do you feel about that? Emma's ditched the pasta glass.
I miss the pasta jar days. Like, it really kind of like added like some well-needed class EG proceeding. So
it was very much survival mode, wasn't it?
I miss them. Yeah, I think they should make a comeback at some point, a bit like Take That. It'll be
I can't go back, Lisa. I can't go back.
Once you have proper wine glasses in your house, you'll never go back to drinking out of pasta jars. That's the motto here, I think. And how are you, Lucy Alderson? How are things?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Ticking along. You know how it goes.
I do. Ticking along. And how has the last few weeks of lockdown been for you?
Yeah, it's been all right. I don't know about anybody else, but I am just like sick to my back teeth of Zoom calls. Like I am going to be so excited when I can see people face to face, because Zoom just really doesn't agree with me. And Emma will know this because I have the worst internet connectivity, and Emma brings it up literally all of the time. But like I keep getting thrown out of Zoom calls, so it just looks like I'm just being really rude and just exiting the call.
Lucy, it's because you're hotspotting your phone. I can't believe this.
Hotspotting your phone.
Yeah.
I know, but it doesn't let me get on. Like it's a real nightmare for me. And then like I seem to get the angle of the Zoom calls wrong. So like I like people see me and like I'm talking with five chins and you can see at my nostrils. So like
I actually had a similar problem. I was interviewing Brendan Sarsfield from Peabody, and he was having similar issues, Lucy. So you and Brendan can never speak to each other. It just won't work.
we'll both be able to just like talk at each other's nostrils or something like that. but apart from that, yeah, it's been all right. Yeah, just
still busy making omelets.
Yeah, like. So the last time we came on, I was talking about like my desperation to find eggs because we were going through that kind of stockpiling phase, and I couldn't find an egg in sight anywhere in West London. But now I have plenty of eggs, and because they're not like in demand, I kind of don't want them anymore.
Well, that's just typical, isn't it? It's just one you can't have.
Market dynamics of eggs.
So now, you know, I'm just onto less kind of interesting lunches. But maybe I'll return to eggs one day, like Emma pasta jar. Who knows?
But I'm absolutely intrigued, and this is no offence to you and your omelettes, but I'm intrigued as to what is a less interesting lunch than an omelette. I mean, it's not exactly a Michelin star.
Actually, Lucy, maybe you want to share with them what you had yesterday.
don't say what.
What did you have for lunch yesterday, Emma?
Oh my God, I can't believe anyone would ever eat this. Two burger patties and some olives.
Just the burgers, just on their own, with nothing with them apart from the olives.
They were skinny burgers, okay? They were low in fat, and I didn't put a bun with it. So,
It sounds very Mediterranean, very Greek, with the olives.
Thank you.
Yeah, a meze, exactly. A meze platter, if you will.
Divine.
Okay, well, I mean, I think that anybody that was thinking at the beginning of this call, what does Emily mean when she says she doesn't know how this is going to go with these two guys on, they understand now what I was talking about. So it's lovely to hear how you guys are getting on. And it's also, you know, I mean, all joking aside, it is really nice to have, you know, sort of nice, jokey, positive chats, because, you know, it has been a tough time. It continues to be difficult, and things are easing, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. But things have changed probably forever in many cases. And there's been a lot of stuff people to get their heads around. And also, you know, the closer to that, you know, light at the end of the tunnel we get, the longer we are in the situation that has been going on for a very long time already. So, you know, it is sort of quite trying sometimes, day after day after day. So it is lovely to hear some very jovial chat about burger patties and olives. So thank you both for that. Much appreciated. So, Emma, let's have a chat to you about what you've been working on this week, because you have had some great stuff to report on, and I'm sure that everybody would love to hear more about it.
Yeah, the world of Resi has been sort of dominating the headlines for the last couple of weeks. It really has. And so the big story that's been unfolding over the last couple of weeks has been around Housing Secretary Robert Jenrick and his approval of Richard Desmond's £1 billion Westbury Printworks development. And all of the events that kind of occurred leading up to this. So bear with me if I ramble. There is a lot going on here. But 2 weeks ago, Tower Hamlets announced that they had been successful in quashing the planning consent for 1,524 homes at Desmond's Isle of Dogs scheme. The company Northern Shell received consent at appeal in January. So Robert Jenrick had overruled objections from the council, the GLA, and also the inspector. And that he made the decision on January the 14th. And it was the timing around it that has really led to more questions. And so that was the day before Tower Hamlets was to introduce a new SIL scheme. So that's the Community Infrastructure Levy, which would have cost Desmond's company around £40 million. Tower Hamlets and the GLA launched legal proceedings. And to be honest, the press wasn't really following this. I hadn't seen anything since January, you know, as far as we'd known. The scheme was to go ahead, but 2 weeks ago they announced that actually when Jenrick had faced a court demand to hand over all correspondence concerning the consent, he admitted apparent bias and withdrew the approval. So that has led many to question what on earth happened in the run up to that, and what could be in that correspondence. So a lot of this has been led, kind of the unravelling of this has been led by Labour peer and former Transport Secretary Lord Adonis. So last Wednesday, he contacted the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Dame Christina Dick, and he asked her to look into this. 2 days later, so on the Friday, she said a senior commander was assessing this, and at the moment this currently sits with the special inquiries team, which handles allegations related to offences that may have been committed by individuals in public office. And then over the weekend, the Mail on Sunday reported that Jenrick had attended a Conservative Party fundraiser in November where he sat next to Richard Desmond, who had spoken about the scheme. So the plot thickens. So I started this week, I spoke to Lord Adonis about this all, and he really wants the police to be investigating a potential case of corruption and abuse of office. So this is really serious. And then alongside that, he's also asking the Cabinet Secretary and MHCLG, the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, if Jenrick and if the Permanent Secretary, which is Melanie Dawes, and senior officials are in breach of their code of conduct. So he's tabled a number of parliamentary questions, asking if they knew, if Melanie Dawes had taken any action, if senior officials had taken any action, and also asking for any correspondence between Jenrick and Northern and Shell, but also anyone from MHCLG and Northern and Shell. And whether or not that comes from anything, we don't know, but at least asking those questions and seeing, that saying that there could be potential accountability from the department. So when I spoke to him, some of the comments, which are quite strong, to be honest, he said, the issues raised to me look to be a significant an issue potentially of sleaze and possible abuse of office of any I have seen in my political lifetime. And this is Lord Adonis. So he's seen a lot. And then he also said the police should now launch a full investigation to judge whether they think there is a criminal case to answer in respect of corruption and abuse of public office. So now we are waiting to see what the police decide. Is there a case to investigate? And if there's going to be any response from MHCLG and the Cabinet Secretary as well, who are being pestered constantly by journalists, no doubt. Everybody is following this. This is a big story. And I think probably important to add here as well, the comment from MHCLG, whenever we've gone to them, they continue to reiterate, while we reject the suggestion that there was any actual bias in the decision, we have agreed that the application will be redetermined. So this is a pretty big one, and there's probably a lot more to come out of it, I imagine.
Wow. Yeah.
If you could follow that long and rambling relay of events.
I mean, it's just, I mean, that's just, it sort of twists and turns, yeah. And it feels more like you're reading off, you know, something from a sort of a novel than, you know, real life. I mean, so you obviously spoke to Lord Adonis, it must have been quite an interesting call for you. You know, you don't get calls like that, I suppose, where you get those kind of comments from somebody of that stature very often in your career. So how was it?
Well, first of all, very difficult to actually try to get contact with him. Obviously, you know, he's the one who launched this. He initially went to the Metropolitan Police. So many people are wanting to speak to him about, you know, what he sees and why that should be investigated by the police. But when I was able to get through to him, and many maybe will already know this kind of from you know, following him and being aware of him in the past, he's very passionate. He is very concerned about this, and then he's really wanting to shine a light on this and dig into it and find out what else, you know, what is happening here. And I think the thing was, a lot of people are focused on the decision, the fact that Jenrick approved the scheme. But what Adonis is saying is, it's not even the fact that he approved it. It was the fact that he was able to even make that decision. That should never have happened. Yeah, twists and turns, lots more to come. Wow. I think probably lots more to come from Adonis as well, because you know, he wants to make sure that this isn't swept under the rug in any way.
And you know, this kind of thing, you know, has a huge impact on the wider industry as well, doesn't it? I mean, when this sort of thing happens, and the way it's handled is really important, so that, you know, whatever happened, and you know, obviously it's very important that it's got to the bottom of, and it's got to the bottom of accurately, but you know, needs to be sort of dealt with in a way that it's not going to kind of have a long-lasting impact. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And you know, I guess it's the other thing is, it's quite difficult to comment on it beyond what you already know, because it's quite a tricky and complex sort of situation, really.
And it's also quite an emotional one as well for a lot of people. So I mean, if that decision had been made later, that's 40 million in SIL, and you know, that goes to infrastructure that is desperately needed in Tower Hamlets. At the moment, the council's celebrating the fact that they were able to quash the planning consent, but then there's also the questions about, is this, I mean, this will now, it will go to another minister to decide this, but is that even the best outcome? What would be a better outcome? You know, that's valuable money, that's still contribution. Those 1,524 homes is a valuable contribution to housing as well. And kind of taking into account, you know, what does this say to other developers as well? It's got such a kind of a wide-ranging sort of impact, and others have actually pointed out as well throughout the week, well, you know, there's plenty of Tory donors in the property market, and it might be naive to think that you can have that divide between the industry and the decision makers as well. You know, do you need to have that split? Those conversations should be encouraged, but then they should be encouraged in a better way. Yeah, it won't stop. There's so much around it.
Wow. So anybody that wants to find out more can check out Emma's story online, obviously, and in the issue. But I mean, I think that actually the way that you've just put it there is probably the most in-depth, update on the story so far people are likely to get. And they'll be able to presumably follow your progress, Emma, as you continue to sort of find out what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I think there'll be lots more to come, and I think that it really will continue to dominate the news, but I think it should.
Brilliant, thank you very much. I agree,
it should be a Netflix documentary.
Absolutely, it should be the next Tiger King.
Yeah, exactly.
So Lucy, as you've spoken up there, let's have a chat about what you've been up to this week, because while Emma's been kind of, you know, following what is such an important and obvious and also an incredible, well, as you say, Netflix worthy story, on the other side of things, you've been working on some stuff which is less specific story based and more trends based, but really, really crucial, so important, with all of our well-being content. And you know, well-being is important at the best of times, and I think it's safe to say that these aren't the best of times.
Yeah.
So tell us about it. How's it been going, and what kind of content have you been focusing on this week?
Yeah, I mean just to like echo that, I think that mental health and well-being has just really kind of come to the forefront during this like quite uncertain and quite disruptive period for absolutely everybody. So in this week's EG magazine, we've got a special mental health and well-being section, which is kind of the content's focused on three key areas, which is reflecting on how lockdown has affected the mental health of property's workforce, how we can transition our own staff and tenants alike back into the workplace safely with well-being in mind. And, you know, finally, what's the role that property has to play in making better places for the future with well-being in mind? So there's lots of resources and guidance and some really like really refreshing comment pieces, like one from PwC director Lee Wilkinson, for example, which, you know, a really good read. Lee has been really kind of open about his own kind of struggles with mental health during lockdown, and you know, it's well worth a read, and really important to kind of keep talking about, you know, it's okay not to have a good day, and it's okay, you know, if you're struggling, you know, it's what makes us human. So yeah, hopefully, you know, lots of people will find that section really helpful, and yeah, let us know what you think. And just kind of following on from that, I think like from the property firms that we've spoken to, well-being and mental health is becoming like a really increasingly important topic. And I know that well-being initiatives are really at the heart of property companies' plans to get people back into our workspaces, into our buildings, you know, it just get out and about outside of the home. So, for example, Legal & General is installing sensors in buildings to monitor air quality, humidity, and the concentration of people. And that data will be available to building users so that tenants feel safe and informed about their workplace. So, you know, the whole kind of transparency kind of piece around this is really super important. And, you know, another example is CBRE. So the company started a phased reopening of their offices from the 26th of May. And the agent has prepared kind of welcome packs, training programs for staff to return to work safely and comfortably. So, you know, it's just becoming, you know, really at the forefront of kind of people's minds, really. I think something really important to note as well is that property leaders have also said that health and well-being will be, you know, really key consideration moving forward in the pricing and take-up of office space after the coronavirus lockdown. So I spoke to Mark Tyson, head of property operations at Legal & General, and he said it would be inconceivable that space would be chosen on just size and location alone, and that health and well-being will be a really critical factor in driving real estate decision making. So it's definitely, you know, this topic will continue to evolve and will continue to be of really great importance, you know, not just during lockdown, not just during these really weird times, but also moving forward as well. So, yeah, one to definitely keep an eye on.
And I suppose, you know, I don't want to assume anything here, but I suppose that one thing that lockdown has probably done or helped to fuel is it's put everybody suddenly in the same boat in terms of their environment. Obviously some people are in different environments. That was maybe a clumsy way of putting it, but I mean that people aren't in the office together, everybody's at home. And so where there was a situation previously where some people maybe found it easier to talk about mental health in an office environment than others, now we're in a situation where everybody has quite a lot of time to reflect. Everybody feels a bit cut off, potentially. Everybody's having to deal with being a bit isolated, and everybody's having to deal with, you know, whatever it might be, from Zoom calls to trying to get a message across to a team without being able to be in the same room. So I'm wondering whether perhaps this focus on mental health and well-being has sort of spread out a bit more, and more people are now thinking about it, and thinking about it on a more serious level. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree, for sure. I think, you know, potentially previously, before the lockdown, I think there might have been some companies who kind of thought about mental health and well-being as, you know, a nice to have. But actually, it's really become imperative for businesses to, you know, understand and make sure that absolutely everybody during these times, you know, knows where they can go to get support and to have some help. And I think as well, I think it's been really important actually just to show everybody that it's okay not to be okay some days, and it's okay to say that you're not okay some days. I think lockdown has put everybody in the same boat, and everybody's struggling, or everybody has, you know, experienced a bit of a struggle, and I think it's just, you know, it's touched everybody's lives really.
And we, you know, on this podcast, particularly with you two, as everybody will have heard from the beginning of this podcast, we are very jovial. And when we're on these podcasts, obviously, we know it's sort of a public facing platform. And you kind of put on your, you know, sort of your put your best foot forward. But, you know, I think it's quite important for everybody to sort of stand up and say, yeah, no, it is okay not to be okay every day, and nobody is okay every day. And I have certainly had days where I've just been like, oh, yeah, I'm just not sure that I am cut out to continue to do this for the next foreseeable however long. And there are days where it actually becomes very, very difficult to be motivated. And, you know, you sort of feel a bit sort of trapped in the situation. I'm sure that you guys have had similar days.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Liz, you go.
I was just, yeah, definitely, I completely agree. I feel like I some days I've just felt like, you know, a kind of a boat floating alone in the middle of the sea. You know, you do feel like you're really cut off from everybody, and you know, you can't, like, your human interaction is really limited. And I'm quite lucky because, you know, I live in a household full of people, but, you know, I imagine it's been quite difficult, more difficult for people who aren't in the same position. So, yeah.
Let's ask Emma, because, you know, yeah. Emma, how have you found things in a new property as well, which has been difficult, I would have thought?
Well, I mean, there's a reason I know what Lucy had for lunch yesterday. and that's because I speak to her every single day, even if she doesn't want to. I think it probably still happens, and she's so used to.
I always want to speak to you.
Really? Okay, that's good. Yeah, well, you have to. There's no option in it, because otherwise it will just be me in my cave. But the number of times that you've seen my ceiling because I FaceTime you but can't even be bothered to hold the phone anymore. yeah. Everybody has lots of problems, and at the moment it's very difficult and continues to be difficult. I think being on your own personally, yeah, I find that really difficult. And so whether you can, you know, talking to people like Lucy, who you know, it brightens things up for me, so that's always nice.
That's aww. Lovely.
Oh,
cut it out.
And then she goes and calls you Resi Roster, and you know, why do you bother?
That's not catching on, by the way.
I think it might.
The minute she said it, I'd brought it up, and then she's told everybody else, and Yeah.
The thing about Lucy Alderson is that she's a great call companion, and she'll always brighten your day, but she won't listen to you when you ask her not to do something.
Yeah, she'll brighten your day, and then she'll send these hideous tweets naming you. She'll
brighten your day and then stab you in the back.
Look, I know what that clue is for you.
At least it makes me laugh, so that's nice.
I think, like, just adding on to that, I think it, like, is, you know, it's really important to, you know, have a chat with everybody, because I think, like, you know, if you keep in contact with people you work with and your friends, like, it just, like, I found it difficult sometimes, and I know, just like picking up the phone to Emma or, you know, my family or friends, you know, it really does help. So, you know, it's everybody, like, everybody is in the same boat, and I think that I think communication is key.
It is. And actually, I was, you know, and I was feeling, I think yesterday I was feeling, maybe the day before, no, yes, it was Wednesday, I wasn't having a bad day, but I was just feeling a bit like, oh, a bit kind of demotivated, really. And then I had a call with William from Widescore, who I, you know, me and William and then Tom Redmayne, who's obviously now in the States, but when he was in London, we used to meet every quarter for breakfast. And William sort of messaged me and said, well, we can't meet for breakfast, but let's do a coffee on a call. And it was amazing, actually, how much that made me feel better. Just amazing. Sort of, yeah, like catching up with somebody who you're used to having regular catch-ups with, and, you know, who you can kind of, you know, it just reminded me really of life before. And it was really nice. And while, yes, it was via Lucy's dreaded medium of Zoom, it wasn't quite the same as a meeting for breakfast, it was really nice, and it really did lift spirits. And it just shows that just that contact with people can really make all the difference. And I suppose as journalists, we're very lucky that contacting people is so much part of our job. It's just a shame that sometimes people don't really want to hear from us, I suppose. But sometimes
yes.
They do. And on that note, Emma, let's talk very quickly about lockdown diaries, because
I was just gonna bring that up.
It's like you read my mind, or I read your mind, but because that's a really great thing that we've been doing, and that you've been working really, really hard on, and kind of bringing people's stories into sort of the public, really, and letting everybody know how everyone's coping.
Yeah, so this is partly a purely selfish series, because it means that I get to speak to people every week and hear about their stories and read their diaries, and it's great. I love it. So I think we're on week 10. Next week is week 10. So God, who would have imagined that we'd have been saying that at the beginning? So yeah, it's been a series of every week we have a different diary entry for a different leader in the industry, and it's quite uplifting, because we're asking people to be really honest, and people have been great, and they have shared the real challenges that they're facing, not just as individuals, but also, you know, for the business, which I think is really useful information for everyone to be kind of open and honest about. You know, if you're going to say you'll be open and honest, you know, prove it. But there's always something in there that sort of, yeah, lifts your spirits, and kind of, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, and there is kind of, whether or not it's a silver lining or a kind of outlook for the future that is brighter. So this week was a particularly bright one, because we had James Sparrow, chief executive for UK and EMEA at Savills, talking about his first day back in the office. Which for many people working from our little caves, we might want to know what that feels like. So I was just going to read a little bit from that one, if that's okay.
Of course.
Okay, so now the big moment, actually entering the office. As I step through the doors, I feel relief and then joy. It's wonderful seeing colleagues at a distance and being able to chat again face to face. I see Mark Ridley, Savills Group Chief Executive, who has cycled into the office, and Richard Rees, our UK Managing Director, is running. I feel a little outdone, having only walked, and they take great pleasure in telling me so. I know I am back. I'm quickly reminded that although you can do a lot on the phone, and even more on Teams and Zoom, nothing beats proper human interaction. That's nice.
That is nice. Lovely. Everybody should definitely have a read of those. And it's just a really good way of sort of well, being quite nosy, I suppose, and checking in to see what everyone else is up to, but also feeling like, you know, we're not alone.
Exactly. And
everyone's in the same boat, although Lucy feels like she's in a boat on her own, floating in the middle of the sea.
I wish I was in the middle of the sea with a Zoom call.
Yeah, if that was in the Caribbean, that'd be fine.
Are we losing her already? Has she drifted away? Where are you?
Yes, it does sound like you're drifting off on a, you know,
No.
On a...
No, because I still have some bits to talk about.
You do. She knows, and I know. She's desperate to make sure she talks about it, and absolutely right as well, because it's really important. And so before we lose Lucy completely as she drifts off on her little boat, it's been more than just quite a week. In terms of what's been going on around Black Lives Matter. And obviously there was Blackout Tuesday this week as well. Sam McClary has written an excellent leader in this week's issue of the magazine, which you can also access free to read as well via Twitter, if you just check out EG or Sam's Twitter page. But Lucy, you've been working on something around this as well. And could you tell everybody a bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So today we've launched a race diversity survey. So, yeah, I mean, if you've seen what has happened over in the US and you know you need to do more to understand and stamp out racism, then I think that filling out our survey is one way in which you can help. So I think, you know, just by looking at our industry, we know that things have to change and they have to change now. You know, it's full of white men and full of white men at the top. So I think to do this, we know to make a difference. EG is collecting data of people of colour's experiences of working in property, and we want to give them a platform so we can all learn how to do much, much better. So this is a kind of call out. So please get in touch with me or a member of the team if you want to share your experience, because we really want to hear from you. I think as well, it's really important to say that the survey we've launched is open to all property professionals, regardless of your race or background. In fact, I think it's actually really important to fill this out if you're white. So we can understand how white privilege is impacting the industry. So, yeah, we know that we need to change the industry, and we really need your help in doing that. And it takes 5 minutes, and I think could be really helpful, a really helpful resource.
Absolutely. Please do. If you're busy today, find some time. If you're not busy today, find some time. If it's the one thing you do today, find some time. I just really hope that as many people as possible fill it out, because we could, you know, we don't just need that data. I think that the industry can learn so much from this data. So make sure you check it out. Well, I said at the beginning of this podcast, I didn't know which direction it was going to go in. And we've had corruption, abuse of office, sleaze, hamburgers and olives, eggs, pasta sauce jars, boats in the middle of the sea, mental health, well-being, and the race diversity survey.
What else is there?
I mean, what else could we possibly have covered in these two short?
Tiger King, we managed to squeeze that one in.
Tiger King, we have, and that was a diary story as well last week in EG, so it's kind of relevant to real estate.
Yeah.
Carol Baskin has taken ownership of Joe Exotic Zoo. It's
good on
her. I mean, it's just, you know, you thought the Jenrick story was twists and turns. Wait until you've heard the Baskin Exotic story. You guys, I knew it was going to be a fun podcast, and not just fun, but informative and sort of really important issues covered too. And you didn't disappoint.
Wow. So
thank you so much for joining me today on We're Still Here. I mean, I'm going to say it. I feel a bit sorry for whoever comes on next week. The Rossa Alderson duo is quite a force to be reckoned with. So thank you so much. And everybody who wants to find out more on the stories that Lucy and Emma have been working on this week and will continue to work on next week, you know where to look. And until then, we're still here, and we will still be here next week too, and we will speak to you then. Thank you very much.
Bye.